Welcome to episode 170 of the Kaiju Podcast, the Blizzard edition of the Kaiju Podcast, we're talking about World of Warcraft or Overwatch or
Heroes of the Storm. Is that Blizzard?
Maybe. Is that Blizzard? I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a really deep Blizzard cut. There aren't any really.
Well, I mean, Blizzard, like from when they first started, you know, being noticeable, was about just defeating Westwood. So.
Yeah, I mean, like they've only has Blizzard ever made or published anything really obscure?
Maybe now I would say actually would be the time they've publish more obscure things. Because, I mean, there is so much that they're putting out.
Right. Lost Vikings. I suppose that's even, like, the deepest cut that they have. Mm. Oh, no! Rock and Roll Racing.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, I mean, That is a deep cut. And is that old, or...?
Yeah, it was, like, Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, Lost Vikings was kind of a cult. Classic at the time. Rock and Roll Racing was good, but like it was this isometric racing game that had like MIDI versions of like actual licensed music, which never happened at the time.
Yeah,
like really shitty MIDI versions of just fucking I don't know, Ozzy Osbourne and shit. So that's what it was. And they actually re-released it, I think.
There you go.
Anyway, that was. Already, I've just like derailed from my derailment, but we say very little on this podcast that we are actually based in Japan and we're supposed to be hit by snow, dreaded white stuff from the sky.
You're joking, right?
Apparently.
We're getting white stuff, but like, you know, my report says it's going to be like small little flurries at best. And it's going to clear up in the morning anyway, so.
In the Tokyo region. There was on the news, it was like everywhere from 20 to 50 centimeters. I mean, like 50 centimeters is Hokkaido, but so.
So Chris is hoarding survival supplies?
No, I was just planning to not leave the house.
That works too.
Yeah. We had snow last week. It did just enough to make commuting unbearable.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it.
And I live in an area where, like, to get to my house from the station, you have to cross, like, a little, valley kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's in a really poor area for sunlight because there are tall houses on either side. Mm. There is still black ice there and it is, not very fun or coming.
I rode the first train into work when they started moving again, and it was like, it was like people were posting pictures on Twitter. It was like fucking biohazard of like, just, like hands pressed up against the glass, you know. Like, it was awful. Yeah. Awful, awful.
And then, of course, because when the temperature goes down even like 2 degrees, they put on the heaters full blast.
So it's unbearably hot in the trains. And,
Then you can't even see outside anymore because of all the condensation. Welcome to Japan. Sucks in summer, sucks in winter.
But speaking of, Marcel is not on the program this week, which means I think we have not seen a Marcello, so I think we got like another 6 weeks of winter. That's how that deal works, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So buckle up till March.
Oh, jeez. actually, my weather forecast says we've got pretty good weather until April. Because I apparently have a weather forecaster that can predict 3 months in advance.
What the dick is...
I have no clue how it's, you know, supposed to work, but it's like, would you like to see the 3 month forecast?
It's actually impossible.
Right.
It's going to be -3 tomorrow. That's what I get. So, Yep.
Yep.
So I guess we're going to stay inside and electronic entertainment and that.
Oh, man. So, there's nothing to do.
There is nothing to do.
That's right.
Except play the video games. Watch wrestling. There's been like 4 wrestling shows in a row this weekend, and my marriage hasn't been under this much stress since last summer.
Honey, I just like watching guys in spandex pin each other to the ground.
I say Tommy Dreamer, who once said, "It's not gay, it's pro wrestling."
There you go.
But yes, what's happened in computer and video games this week, Chad?
We've got a whole lot of small snippets. So The Witness has been making the rounds on the news, mostly because of its price point that was revealed to be $40, and it's kind of split people into two factions. Like, this is ridiculous for a digital title, and then others are saying, you know, it's a game that basically one guy has been doing for 7 years, and so it reflects that fact. Personally, I'm in the latter camp, not just because of the 7 years, because, I mean, people have taken longer. I think Fez took longer, didn't it?
It's like the production on it.
Right, exactly.
It
looks like a beautiful game. It's got, a very, like, mist-like quality. I mean, you talked about how you love puzzles. I love puzzles too. And there's over 700 of them. I mean, you think of a game that offers you 700 puzzles for $20.
I mean, yeah, no. I mean, my reaction to it was, I guess I'm not buying it then, to be honest with you. But, like, that wasn't out of, you know, being enraged at it.
Of course.
It's purely that I haven't been keeping up with it, thinking that just going to get it when I came in. So, like, now that's $40 is way above my sight unseen level for buying a video game. But I don't know. I think, like, the problem is we've been spoiled on thinking for so long that digital games cost between 15 and 20.
Right. And I think that's
slowly changing, right?
Right. I think it's also because, like, you and I are mainly console gamers.
Yeah.
And that means, we're usually paying for the disc, which costs a lot, and the digital games, which costs like 15, 10 to 15. Whereas PC gamers who go on Steam, like, $40 for digital games is nothing because, you know, everything costs $40 to $60. But I mean, this is a PS4 exclusive, console exclusive? I forget.
No, it's not. I don't think it's anything. Because I know it's been, the ESRB rated it for Xbox One.
Right, but Blow came out himself and said that's basically a just-if kind of scenario. Okay. So they don't want to go through certification again if they decide to port it. They said they haven't done any kind of architecture on the Xbox World. It'll change as more and more digital titles come out. I remember Talos Principle cost basically the same thing. It was 40 to 50.
Right. Did they put that on a disc?
I think so, but if they did, it came out after.
Right. I guess Soma was 30, right? Something like that.
Yeah, Soma was 30, so.
So, and that was digital only. So, right. That's not that different.
So,
that's weird, isn't it?
As we keep going on, it'll get more.
It's always a problem when it's easier to get easier, isn't it?
Right.
And, like, so it's always a problem to set an expectation of these things cost this much, and then suddenly say, "But no, actually, they cost more." Or worse, saying these things are free, and then desperately realizing that your model isn't self-sustaining, which is what YouTube are going through. So,
I think that was like another issue is I mean, Jonathan Blow is known for Braid, and Braid right now, or even when it came out, was super cheap.
It was, yes.
Yeah,
Yeah. It was also,
yeah,
I played
people are
it.
saying, yeah, this game is bigger and larger
Yeah.
and more intense than Braid ever could be. But yeah, so I
I think,
think.
yeah, I think almost like that's one of your problems when you are silent for quite a long time, which The Witness was. So when like I first saw No Man's Sky and knowing that it was Hello Games who made Joe Danger, I thought, this is going to be amazing for like a $20 downloadable game, And then like the fact that the good point of them getting out there so often was to hit home the fact that, no, this is going to be like a triple A, like printed physical thing in a box. And it's going to be, they were able to set that high sort of price expectation
Right.
to where nobody's going to get confused with what this is. Whereas I think like The Witness has been, they've been deliberately fairly mysterious about it. And that makes it, perhaps hard for some people to accept.
True.
Soma as well. I mean, Soma popped out of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking. So it was like, oh, okay, so you don't
Yeah,
remember.
and like some of that speaks to the game itself. It's hard to do a lot with those games because The Witness really is just the puzzles, and okay, you can show the puzzles themselves, but you don't want to show what they do. I mean, that's supposed to be the mystery.
Right. Yeah.
And same with Soma, like showing pretty much any of Soma is basically a huge spoiler.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think Sony did well,
right.
and that
It did
might be a
critically
problem
well,
with
but
this as
yeah,
well.
not financially
Yeah,
well, so.
exactly. That might be something that strikes The Witness to the point where I think maybe the people that get it are going to be the people that really wanted it anyway. And so it is going to be difficult when, without a marketing spend, it's very difficult to get at that price point to get people to go, okay, I'll give it a punt.
Well, sometimes there is that early adopter mentality anyway. I mean, look at games like Outlast. It's one of the most recommended games out there. I wouldn't put it up on my high on my recommendation list, but it is often recommended to people who are like, what game should I play?
But
And
that had like the plus thing going for it, so it was free for
right.
it.
But I mean, now it's not. And
Yeah,
what I'm
I
saying
mean,
is like
but
it
I
goes,
mean,
yeah.
that's how, and like Rocket League benefited hugely from that, of like people of having that free first month, getting people talking about it, and then like that actually led to strong, far stronger
Certain,
sales
yeah.
afterwards than they would have ever gotten beforehand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that is what
Yeah.
that is. Yeah. What else have we got? Money.
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 No, I was trying to think of a
Yep,
segue, but
I'm
I
waiting
don't
for
even
it.
have a list in front of me.
Yep.
So, witnesses.
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to get yourself a secretary to hold the list, or maybe, a secretary of defense,
Why
to
do I
keep
need? I need
that.
that.
Because then you could put out an application and maybe Donald Rumsfeld would come answering.
Sure.
That was my awful segue. So
So, yeah,
yeah.
go on. Go on, mate.
In the news of the weird this week,
Yeah.
yeah, they're really weird. Donald Rumsfeld has apparently entered the app making world.
It's an app. Is it? Okay.
That's right. From what I can tell, it's only for iPhone. I tried to search for it on my phone, but it's not available. So he made an app called Churchill Solitaire, which is
You're fucking, that's shameful, isn't it?
surprisingly, it is a version of Solitaire.
Prefer like cashing in on dead prime ministers.
Oh, come on.
He didn't get any, he didn't, I bet he didn't seek authority from Churchill's estate there.
Well, that's the thing. That's the hilarious part. Is like I'm reading through like the history of how this came to be. There's a nice post on the Wall Street Journal about it. Churchill didn't even learn the game from, I'm sorry, ooh, Rumsfeld didn't learn the game from Churchill. He learned it from, Andre de something, the Belgian ambassador to NATO.
I can find Churchill's game, but that's not what it is.
Okay. Well,
Winston Churchill's Wit and Wisdom.
Could be just that it's not in Japan.
Yes, there are. So that might... No results for Churchill, solid hair.
Okay.
I'll search for Donald Rumsfeld. Did he actually make it?
I don't
think he did.
No, he... who made it? He has a... I'm going to have to search for this. But, it is a known, sort of known app developer who worked on something else, but I forget. But basically, he told the developer what he wants.
Is this actually Donald Rumsfeld's Churchill solitaire?
That's, but in just the most hilarious fashion, like, he used a dictaphone to create memos, which he then sent to the developer.
He faxed him.
I assume so.
Is he actually in Japan? Yeah. He's Secretary of Defense for Japan. That explains a lot.
No. But, yeah, so, again, like, he didn't learn the game from Churchill. He learned it from this Andre de Stark, who says he learned it from Churchill. But both Rumsfeld and de Stark looked through everything they possibly could from Churchill himself, all the correspondence they could get their hands on, and they couldn't find a reference to the game. So basically they're saying, we say Churchill played this game, and that's good enough for historical authenticity. Apparently a representative of the Churchill estate says, like, Churchill never even mentioned the game. But there you
go. So he might actually get sued by Churchill's estate.
He could, possibly. There you go.
Yeah, we had quite a good back and forth offline, and then I made some tasteless jokes, which I thought were quite funny. I don't think we would, be able to do it off the cuff.
Right, yeah.
On this podcast.
Yeah.
So, go back and hack into our line accounts and find it out there.
There you go. Yeah. It's on
It's quite a good 10-minute exchange we had. Imagine that.
There you go. That's why I remember. It was a former aide to Mr. Rumsfeld who actually developed the software. His name is Keith Urban. There you go.
I am.
Yeah. And it has microtransactions.
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
So, you can play the game for free, but, if you're stuck, you can buy hints and undo buttons. And Rumsfeld himself has said, like, you should use the hints, because that's like calling Mr. de Stark and getting advice from him.
Like,
but never use the undo, because there are no undos in life.
It's like waterboarding your informants, getting the hints. You can't undo that either, if you do it too much.
Apparently at one point he complained to his aide because the aide was making the game too artsy. And not historic enough.
Right. Fucking. It's fucking solid.
Yes. Yes.
It's not like that's the thing. Like hearing you describe it, it's like he was making some fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like mysterious ancient variation of, I don't know, fucking Sun Tzu's fucking chess or whatever.
Right.
It's solitaire.
Right.
You could get it with Windows 3.1.
But it has complications. It uses two decks instead of one. And you have to apparently get rid of a devil's row of 6 cards. I don't know what that means. It's just in the article.
Yeah.
Yep, devil's row. There you go.
That's a wordy trademark, Charlie.
Devil's row.
Devil's row. Probably Saints Row probably took that already, right?
Probably. Possibly. Maybe.
Yep. Donald Rumsfeld's old Rummy.
There you go.
Central A.
Yep. 83 years of age. Making an app.
Yeah, good on him.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's got a game.
I'm sure he appears in more than one.
But yeah, I'm sure
he's only lent his name to one.
To one. Yeah. Real estate tycoon.
There you go.
Take on the king. By Activision, of course. Who else?
Who else?
Look at the font on that box, though. Jesus Christ, that's awful.
Chris just has the box right in front of him. He treasures that game.
Of course.
One day.
All the seasons of The American Apprentice.
That's right.
And some other shite. Yep. WrestleMania 4 and 5. Yeah. Yes, well then. I don't think there'll be anything in that solitaire game that's really worthy of censoring. Do you think? Nothing.
It,
no,
it
particularly.
Was too artsy. Plus, Churchill was a racist anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all were. No, like, gay conversion in it.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, cool. Jolly good. As you were then.
Why would you bring that up, Chris?
Oh. So Fire Emblem, if
or
you were a lesbian, then, and no,
Chris,
I don't know.
Chris is carefully choosing his words.
If you were a lesbian, how would you feel? No, so Fire Emblem, if has a bit in the Japanese version, you're more liable to add your insight to this because you played the Japanese version of it.
I didn't play the white side, which is where this happens, but yeah.
Oh, it would be on the white side, wouldn't it? So there's a lesbian character in it. This so is, tell me where if I go wrong anywhere. There's a lesbian character in it, and because she is a gay character in a Japanese piece of media, that means she is attracted to all women.
Yep.
Right? So is it like, because...
Well, she says pretty ladies, but every lady is pretty, so...
You cannot be gay in most Japanese media that I have consumed without being voraciously, aggressively homosexual.
That's right.
And so, this is a distraction, to something where she has to fight against a lady. So, there's a scene in the game where they drug her with a powder that makes her see men as women. And then she falls in love with this man who she sees as a woman. And then even though, like, you know, I think after she understands that he's a man, then, like, she falls in love with him anyway.
Right.
And, that's not on, really. And so that part's just been excised from the Western release of the game. Is that correct?
Right. I've seen some of the dialogue, and, there are, like, two camps on this. This is a pretty divisive game.
It was a good choice of word.
So one thing is, apparently, like, she knows about the powder. It's not, like, slipped into her drink.
Okay.
You know, people don't maliciously say, hey, let's drug this girl or
something
anything
like
that.
The inverse lesbian pollen.
Right.
Mind games. That's what it is.
Yeah. So she gets the powder and it makes her see, all boys become girls. Basically, like, what happens really is, like, she faints. It's not just that she has to fight them, but whenever she sees a cute girl, she faints.
Context.
Right. So basically this is, I forgot, like, desensitizing her to that experience. Like, if she sees cute girls everywhere, eventually she'll stop fainting.
See, so she sees women also as women.
Right.
Okay.
So she sees everything as a woman.
Everything as a woman.
Right. Boys and girls. So, Yeah, then again, the main character, she falls in love with the main character, but she sees the main character as a girl, even if she is a boy. And then eventually, yeah, the powder wears off and she goes like, oh, okay, well, that's, yeah. And she's like, you know, I asked everyone and they said you're a boy. So that's like how she figures it out. And, she's not upset even after she finds out.
I kissed a boy and I liked it.
Yeah. Kind of like that. But I mean, I can see why people would be upset with it.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm not.
Yeah. Right.
But then, whether or not you're upset, like, the real issue to me is, do you call this censorship that they're removing it from the Western world? Right. I don't. But
that's not what the internet.
Right.
Right. I mean, like,
I call it revision. Because...
Yes, exactly. I mean, like, censorship is when a state or somebody outside of your purview comes in and says, you must not do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, like, they'd release this and there was, like, a massive big uproar against it, and then, like, they cut it, then even then that would be self-censorship. This isn't even self-censorship.
Right.
But, like, what this is them saying this might be a thorny issue to certain demographics, and in order to maximize sales to these demographics, we are going to cut this bit out. It's localization.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But, I mean, like, that's the thing, right? It's like you said, like, you know, people have a right to be offended. Like, you have a right to be offended by anything. That doesn't mean that you always get to have your own way about stuff. So, I mean, like, I sort of saw this as that's a bit of, like, a stupid storyline or whatever. And I say some people might be upset by that, but that's not a thing of, like, you shouldn't do it. That's just like, well, hey, that's like, dim-witted or short-sighted or whatever.
And as we've talked about already, like, the creepiest thing in Fire Emblem by far is the face rubbing minigame.
Still in it, right. So, yes, I mean, it is purely that. Now, if you want to have, like, this other argument of sacrificing your, like, artistic vision in order to maximize commercial success, then... Yes, that's a separate discussion that you can have.
But, you know, this isn't even like an indie title that's supposed to be like that. It's Nintendo,
exactly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. If it was a little indie title, then you might be able to have that conversation a little bit better. But I mean, it was the same thing with the DOA Extreme. Mm-hmm. It's being censored. No,
it's just not coming out.
Just not coming out. My goodness. So it's like, it was all over Famitsu. I was flipping through Famitsu this week. It's like 4 pages on that fucking game. It's like a girl in a pants sitting on the beach ball.
Yeah. And what I love is, like, yeah, after that announcement, like, we're not coming to the West. Seriously, the first trailer that came out after that was a full minute on the jiggle engine that they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, like the soft engine or something. it's called something along those lines, jiggle or soft or something like
that. Right.
But
I remember, like, do you remember before the PS3 came out? Were you even in Japan before the PS3 came out?
I came out, like, around that time. I can't remember exactly.
Like, there was Ninja Gaiden Sigma, when there was, like, fuck all out on the PS3, right? Ninja Gaiden Sigma came out, and, like, their big thing that was on TV commercials at the time was that you could use the six-axis controller to manipulate the breasts in the game. and so there was, like, literally this thing of, like, two people with, like, glued to the TV set, like, with their eyes moving, like, up and down as they move the controller up and down, and, like, the tits jiggling. So, yeah. You shake your head, but yeah.
You shake your head, so but you also make sure to shake the controller as well.
Shake the man. I mean, when I was 14, you know, I had Dead or Alive 2, and I set the age up to 99 in it. Because like if that was like the slider was, it wasn't like breast physics slider. It was like age. So the older you were, like when, if you were 99 years old, you could get maximum boob size and.
I did not.
No, that's true.
Okay, there you go.
Fucking despair. Yeah, like the more ridiculous things. So, well, okay, so the woman falls in love with this guy, and now they can get married.
Right.
They wouldn't have been able to do before, you know, if the situation was as she thought about.
Yep.
So, a little bit of a kerfuffle about.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, people are upset about this, but, you know, in the game, you can literally marry your sister. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah. Nobody even says, like, hey, that's weird.
Not if you're a girl, though, you can't.
right.
There you go.
Yep.
Unless you think she's a man.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You invite your sister into your room, rub her face for like 10 hours, and then say, hey, let's get married.
Mind games. Is that all the news? The news is the news?
Yeah. That's.
I mean, there was like a thing about rumors and reports about the PlayStation VR price, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I'm still saying that's a placeholder.
So. Unfounded, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, even those rumors, the sites were saying anywhere from 400 to 500, and none of those prices would really surprise. Well, 500 would, but.
500 would be too high.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
450, I could see. 400, I can see. I'm thinking 400. But
50,000 yen. How much was the PS4 when it came out? I can't remember. Was it 40,000 or 50?
Yeah,
40,000, wasn't it?
I think it was 40,000, yeah.
40,000, yeah, 40,000.
But when it came out, like, the yen was really good.
Yeah, that's right. 40,000 yen's only like $300, right?
Right, yeah.
I'd love it more now, maybe, but, yeah.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah, it's tough at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Abenomics, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really like, as someone that's earning money abroad at the moment, it sucks. It really does.
Yeah. As somebody who sends money abroad every month, it really sucks.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then, what have you been up to?
I've been playing games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several games. Which one would you like to hear about first? I'm looking at the icons on my screen. Would you like to hear about the red game, the blue game, or the monochrome game?
Oh, red, blue, or monochrome? Monochrome would be Kiwami, wouldn't it?
Oh, good job.
So let's go with that first, because you were going to do video on it and you can't.
Right.
It's all spoilers.
It is.
The game's only been out 10 years, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing to me. I put it on Twitter today in Japanese. I was asking, like, because I'll never get an answer from Sega, but I was asking, like, why is it blocked when the game's been out for 10 years? And, like, especially because it looks so good. It's a beautiful game. You go into Kamurocho, which is basically, Kabukicho. And it looks amazing. I mean, it's that 2005 because it's still the original Yakuza story. So it's kind of funny as well. It's like a time capsule. You see all the schoolgirls in like their like knee high socks and,
Right.
Things like that.
Gallagher.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, really kind of just interesting walking around, and like the touts are out there, and like, just like in real life, they will follow you for like 10 steps. And like, you want to punch them in the face, but you don't. Yeah, I've said several times, I think Yakuza just gets, its funding from like product placement, because there are over like 30 real stores.
And
from things like Pronto to, various clothing outlets and all kinds of things. Of course, like, alcohol as well. Suntory is a big one. Like I said, it looks really good. The cutscenes are excellent. I want to show off this game, and I can't imagine why Sega wouldn't want to show off this game. As like the latest, you know, here's what we've got. We're not irrelevant yet. Yet it's all blocked. The funniest part is, of course, the PS4 takes an automatic screenshot whenever you get a trophy. So every time I finish a chapter, I finished like 4 chapters so far, like, I get another reminder that that block is still in place. There will be a trophy pop, and then immediately another little warning saying, cannot take a screenshot here.
I haven't even seen like that little thing that says, oh, you can't look at, yeah, I haven't seen like blocked scenes.
Yeah. I've seen a few.
The last thing, Dragon Age Inquisition had it, because like it was like pinging stuff that might have passwords on it or whatever. Arkham Knight had it. Okay.
Yeah.
EA UFC was the only other one I could think of that blocked the FMV sequences in it. So it was literally just fucking, it would be, you have this shitty fight and this shitty thing, and then like, we go, recording starts, and Dana White would be, good job, kid, you're gonna get a title shot really soon, and then like, recording resumed.
There you go. But aside from that, like I said, the game looks beautiful, and and going through it, it is very much a Yakuza game. So you wander around, you go into the shops. I haven't really entered any kind of like total free play moment yet. I'm still like doing the build up story.
The last one I played.
Yeah,
4. I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 4. I liked the drama in those cutscenes, but they were a bit long. Like, just slightly too long for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Just before the podcast, I was having dinner, and I was just like, I want to play Yakuza, but I also want to eat. And I was like, wait, I'll just get to the next cutscene, because that'll be like 10 minutes. And then ate while they had the cutscene.
Yeah, I kind of like, I don't know how the first one is, I've never played it, but like, I like the in the cutscene, like the procedural aspects of it, that you just, you don't get from other video games. You know, the fact that it is like, it's slice of life, but like, just in terms of like procedural crime drama stuff, like, in Yakuza 4, you're working in like for a loan shark company. And a lot of those cutscenes are just like being working in a loan shark company, and like this gym pillar comes like bursting in through the door with some like stupid drama or whatever. And then like, I know Yakuza 5, you start off as a taxi driver, you know, that's like a good part. The first part of the game is you have to obey the rules of the road as you have your job as a taxi driver. You were not keen on that as a, you know, as a general concept, like the sort of slow pace of it, or the realism of it. Yeah. The slow life stuff.
Like I said, I haven't even come to a part where that's an issue yet. And I've played through 4 chapters. So, I mean, maybe that's how it was in the original. Maybe the first one was like far more story driven than slow life, game. That's certainly possible. But yeah, I do love the cutscenes themselves. It is a bit weird. There is kind of a dissonance in me going like, I'm rooting for the Yakuza.
Yes.
But I mean, some Yakuza are better than other Yakuza and that kind of
Right.
thing. Like, in
Yeah.
the end, it's like, what is it? The goal is I'm supposed to find Yumi and like, Hyaku Okuen, 100 Oku, whatever that is, I forget.
It's a lot of money. It's like the Oku is like 10 million.
Right.
So
So
hundred a thousand million, like a billion yen.
there you go.
There you go.
Which would be like, $10 million. Well, like 8 million now. But yeah, they say we've lost all this money, and I'm like, yeah, but you stole it from people anyway, or extorted it or whatever.
Yeah, right,
It's like, okay, yeah, I gotta get this money back, but it's ill-gotten gains anyway. So it's just kind of, but in when you're in the zone anyway, it's nice. And of course, I love Majima. I've never seen Majima in an actual Yakuza title, like the actual numbered series, because as I've said before, I've only played the zombie one and the first Edo period one. But I always loved Majima in those, and now I get to see him in his real element. So, they have this thing in this game called Doko Demo Majima. It's kind of interesting. The Kazuma is supposed to be the number one Yakuza, the number one tough on the street. But something happens in the beginning. My speaking has been blocked by Sega, so I can't say what happened. You get thrown in prison, and you're there for 10 years. And it's kind of funny, like nothing ever happens to you. You're the poster boy for the prison, apparently. Because you come out and Majima's there and he says, "All right, I want to fight. I've been wanting to fight you for years and now you're finally out. Let's fight." And he kicks your ass. But it's one of those where you're supposed to lose. So I die, and he laughs and he's like, "Wow, in 10 years you've forgotten everything about fighting. Didn't you have any prison yard brawls?" And he's like, "No, I just sat quietly in my cell." Okay. But that's the explanation for why you have lost all of your skills. Right. And yeah, now you have to get them back by leveling up. And you have the four combat styles that were introduced in Yakuza Zero. There's the rush style, which is like quick and dodgy, but you can't pick up weapons or anything like that. And you can't grab people. Then there's like the destroyer style, which is pretty much all about weapons. If there's a weapon in your vicinity when you do an attack, you'll automatically pick it up as part of your attack, which is pretty cool. And then there's the Chinpira style, which is basically the all-round style. But there's also the Dojima no Ryu, so the Dragon of Dojima style. But you've forgotten all of your moves in your 10 years in prison. So to get them back, you have to fight Majima, to remember your skills. And so while you're traveling around the city, like suddenly there will be an exclamation mark, all of like Metal Gear Solid, bring, and Majima will come out and attack you.
It's just like
So,
the chicken
yeah.
and pie. Do you know, perhaps you don't, but do you know, like, is there like more stuff in here content wise, or is it just like a visual reading?
I think there are new scenes because I wanted to compare like the graphical fidelity with the original. And it's actually really hard to find a Let's Play of the original and not even the HD version. But I finally found one, and yeah, they're I'm like, okay, so I see this scene, and then I got to like a scene with the bar that you always go to, and in the original game, that scene wasn't there, so they have added extra scenes. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, cool. Yeah, we'll see whether that goes to the West or anything. If it does, it'll be years away. Years and years. But yeah, still at zero. I might dip into zero when they do that localization.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. You've played three, so now you're down to two. I've got two.
All right. Do I get to pick a color?
No, you can choose the bad game or the good game.
Let's go bad first.
I've been playing, both my games are kind of music-y games.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I've been playing is Inside My Radio.
Does anyone have a radio anymore?
Yeah, not a digital DAB.
It's just in your phone now.
Yeah, exactly, inside my telephone.
There you go.
It is a rhythm platform game. That is to say, it's a 2D platform game, and you can do like platform games things like a jump and a butt stomp and a dash across gaps. But those things you can move like however as freely as you like. But the things like everything that's on your face buttons, it will only work if you're on the beat of the music that's playing.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually, if you're really shit, you can pull up like a metronome over your head that lets you know. And then you time your button presses and you do it. And, the gimmick is that like you're playing as three different characters and they each represent a different genre of music. Like there's an electro guy, a dub guy, and a disco guy. And the first thing I thought is like, there's only three characters, what? There are so many genres of music. If you have that idea, which is a good idea,
right?
You could have like so much, you know, you could have so much shit in there.
But it's an indie game, so.
Well, yeah, it's like 2 hours long, and there's only three people. And like, the real thing is with this, like, it's 2 hours long and it's super top heavy. Like, it runs out of ideas. I played it in two settings, and after the first sitting, I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty, like, you know, I was thinking, like, maybe reviewing it, this might get, like, a two or a three. Like, this is good. Like, it's fun. Like, playing as the disco guy is really kind of, it's fun. It's all, like, bright. You're doing, like, kind of cool puzzle stuff. Like, you're, activating switches, to screw with the lighting in the disco to make the people happy. And then the bouncer lets you move on.
Oh, okay.
Or you're like gathering singers, in like the band to sing or whatever. And that's all cool. And then like there's set piece things where suddenly you're doing a Guitar Hero solo or you have to do like this quick time event exchange with the boss fight or whatever. And, it's just nothing amazing, but like kind of irreverent and charming and nice and fun. And then just after that, like the last 2/3 of the game is just nothing. Like it's just really basic puzzle platforming and nothing remarkable about it at all. Other than you have to do everything to the beat. And like, it's almost like they made the levels really basic to stop people getting frustrated, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't do the rhythm thing. But it doesn't go anywhere. It just gets really boring, like right afterwards, you know? So it's like, oh, it's like the biggest thing of going from, oh, maybe two or three to a one in the space of 40 minutes or whatever. But,
I mean, that's always a really hard thing to do with like both platformers and, adventure games. Not like point and click adventure, but, if you put in all these little obstacles, like, it's supposed to be a progression. So, you know, like, yeah, like you're saying, towards the end, it should be everything coming at you at once.
Mm.
Because yeah, it is supposed to be like a test of everything you've learned up to that point.
Yeah, it is. And then there's like the other thing of like you want to front load stuff because that's what everybody plays.
Yeah, true.
But it is just totally, you know, it doesn't do anything with the music as well. You know, it doesn't, even though like in the disco-y bits, like all the characters, when you push a button, it has like, it gives a little musical sting and sort of the thing. So it feels like, you know, I was kind of expecting something a little bit like Sound Shapes. But it really doesn't. Like a lot of those tracks, you finish a level and it's just this nondescript backing track just fades away and you're done. You know, and it's not like this big, like, you know, crescendo. The music doesn't go anywhere. And yeah, I didn't really like the art style either. But yeah, not cool. But like, really good first half hour. Just like the rest of it just falls to shit. But anyway, what was the red thing you had?
All right, the red thing was the Tomorrow Children beta.
I had a code for this, and I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to like get in, download this. And then like I looked at the email, and it's like, these times. Right. Like, yeah. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the tough part. It was like a 3-hour block yesterday, the day before. That's right, on Thursday. Then there was a 3-hour block from like 4 a.m. today, and I was asleep, so no. And then there's one more tomorrow at like 10:30, but I'm gonna be asleep, so. Anyway. So yeah, Tomorrow Children. It's not a game for me. I've come to that decision. But at the same time, I can easily see the appeal. It's very like Minecraftian.
Right. I've heard this. Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, like, there is a more communal effort. It's kind of like communist artistic style mixed with the Minecraftian, like, gathering and, you know, finding stuff. And then there's also, like, this Animal Crossing kind of thing where you have to build up your village. But, you know, instead of being the mayor, you are now just one of the villagers. Mm-hmm. First you find a village, And everyone in the beta is allowed to build a house. In the real game, you have to get enough credits to become part of the, basically, the bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just a worker, and all you can do is go to towns and do work and collect money. You can't live in the city. So, eventually, you can build a house, but you have to find the town that... is capable of holding you. So in the beta, each town was able to hold only like 5 houses. And that was hard enough to find like a town that, you know, I could build a house in. Because, you know, everyone's coming on at once and they can only hold 5 houses. Eventually I got somewhere, I built a house. And so what you do from there is, your town is obviously very small. So, you have to collect resources, to build, better things. Now, the way you do that is a bus will come to your town. You get on the bus and it will take you to, what's called an island. So there's this big white expanse that they call the void. And if you just try to walk in it, you'll sink to your death. But the bus will bring you to a safe spot, because every so often just something rises out of the void, and they call that the island. So you go to the island, and there will be, like, chunks of metal that you can mine into metal. and then trees that you can chop down to get wood, or you can shake them to get fruit. Then there's all kinds of different things that you can do. Part of it is also like terraforming, because you have like a shovel and you can use the shovel to build stairs, which will allow you to, you know, reach areas that are difficult to get to otherwise. So there's a little bit of like platforming to it as well, because you'll see like really good like metal deposits up on this floating island, and you're like, how the hell do I get there? But you're like, okay, I can build stairs here, I can jump onto this tree, and then I can jump up to that island. And then you mine, and again, it's a communal effort, you mine all the things, and like, so now you have the metal deposits, you throw them down, and everybody else who's on the island will gather them up and put them back in the bus stop. So when the bus comes back around, it auto-loads everything you put in the stop area onto the trailer. And then you go back to town, and you have to take everything you've mined or collected and put it into little special deposit areas. And that becomes the town's resources. It's actually, it is a very, like, communist-style game because, yeah, everybody does have, like, a role. And whatever you do will give you, like, points. Bourgeoisie points, I think they're called.
awesome.
Yeah. And so if you mine some metal, that gives you, like, 6 points per piece that you get. But also, like, if you stay in town, that's actually really good. Because, yeah, it's a waste of time to go from the island and then take the bus and go back each time. Like, you should just stay on the island and mine as much as you can. While somebody else can stay in the town, collect all the resources that were on the truck, and bring them to deposit areas, and they get points for that. So, everybody doing whatever they do will actually give you some points. And then there's also other things, like the town needs power to run, and there's like this treadmill power generator. You can actually get on the treadmill and play like a little mini game for a minute. It's one of those, you have to keep a bar in between like two lines, and the lines will move up and down kind of thing. And while you're in between the lines, you get more power. So, depending on how much power you generate for the town, you get more bourgeoisie points. And then at the end of the day, there's like a worker ranking, so there's also that kind of like competitive edge to it. It'll say like, this worker collected this many points and this worker collected this many. Eventually, you don't really get to see it in just the beta, but, there's going to be like, you can build things like a city hall, and the city hall can have a mayor, and the mayor can, force edicts on the town that will change different things and how it works. So,
and the mayor is another player.
Right, the mayor's a player, and you can vote for the mayor, and you can, like, campaign and things like that.
Right. Yeah, it sounds interesting. I think I'd probably feel exactly the same as you about it. So it sounds, you're making it sound very interesting, but you're also making it sound like something I couldn't get into because it's too much of a commitment.
Right. Like, you know, I did have fun, for like, you know, the first hour or so. Mm. And then it's like, okay, we need more metal. I go to the island and I'm just there for like 20 minutes with my pickaxe, just going like,
right.
Ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think, like, just, like, thematically, I think it's quite interesting to turn that Minecraft concept of, like, kind of a, I don't know, sort of the self-expressive end of capitalism and then, like, just make it to this, you know, this thing of you're a hive mind and, or, you know, you're a worker bee. I like the idea of it.
But, yeah, that's one other way it appeals is like it's a game where you can just shut off your brain and
If you're
not running for mayor or something like that, then yeah, sure. You just, you know, get on the bus and go mine some shit for a while. You get points for doing it, so why not? Just one other thing that happens is like there are these monsters in the void.
Mm-hmm.
And they are gigantic monsters. Some of them fly and like launch bombs at you, and one is like this Godzilla thing that basically just walked through my city and destroyed everything. I'm sure you get better stuff later, but this being the beta, we're in early game stuff. So like, I found a rocket launcher. So every town starts with like a stack of boxes that have like pickaxes and shovels and things like that. And one of them had a rocket launcher. So here comes Godzilla, and like I pick up the rocket launcher. It has 20 rockets. I did basically like 5% of its life in damage. yeah, I never felt so small. And then it like walked forward and just destroyed another house. And yeah, so there's another thing. Like when the city is damaged, you go out and you repair it, and you get more bourgeoisie points. Yeah, it was kind of frightening because at one point, like, I was in the void, I was doing mining, I was inside a structure, so I couldn't see what was going on around me. But like I kept hearing like these booms and like my controller was shaking and I had no clue what was going on. So like yeah, I go outside and there's another of those Godzilla things just walking through the island. And like it was crushing the part where I had just been. And then one other just fun little experience was I found this town that was apparently deserted. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, one of the things I didn't like was that I was mining, but then, like, I know it's supposed to be a communal effort, but people were mining where I'm mining, and I'm like, this is my spot, get out of here. So yeah, I went to like this deserted area and I found this place, and like I was mining, and then suddenly, like, the entire place started rumbling, and I had no clue what was going on. But I just kept mining and mining and mining, and suddenly, like, it literally exploded, in a flutter of like cherry blossom petals, and it was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, in a game. So apparently that's what happens. Like the islands will change. I knew that, but I didn't know how they ended. And apparently that's how they end. They explode in cherry blossom petals. And then it became a problem because like it turned into the regular void and I sank to my death.
Weird. Yeah, it's good that they made it. Good on them for making something weird. Like anything that's too that is that reliant on community and online, not gonna bother. The other thing I've been playing, I actually played a game on my phone, which I haven't done for ages.
Ooh.
And that is Lost in Harmony, which was we played back at TGS, and now it is out. It is a game by the guy that did the chase sequences in Valiant Hearts,
right?
And some of the musical stuff in Rayman. So obviously it is a musical game. Mainly it is basically the chase bits in Valiant Hearts, but it's the whole game. And I was kind of wondering, because like it is like this narrative thing built of this, of how does that actually work? You just in terms of a fiction of like, are you just constantly being chased somewhere? But what it is, without giving too much away, is like it's about this teenage romance between this kid. But for some reason, like the boy's called Kaito and the girl's called Aya, but like they're clearly not. They don't seem to be in Japan. There's not really. There's like a faux frappanese, like, kind of look to it, you know what I mean? Like European anime kind of look, which I'm not mad keen on, to be honest. But I mean, that's the extent to where that goes. But yeah, so they have like this young love thing, without, again, without saying it's kind of immediately obvious within like the first 5 minutes that this is not going to end well. But like what the story plays out with, like, this kid just before he goes to sleep, like, looking through, like, just a text exchange with this girl, on his phone, and then he falls asleep, and you play his dreams, basically. So that's how they get around why is everything a fucking chase sequence, you know?
Because you're always being chased in your dreams.
You're right, and, well, I mean, like, there's, you can make a case of why, you know, that you're constantly being chased in this. If you played those Valiant Hearts bits, then you kind of know what's up. You're being sort of chased. The camera is in front of you, so to speak. You're racing out of the screen. Things are either chasing towards you or there are obstacles coming, in from outside of the screen, and there'll be like an arrow saying, hey, there's something coming here, so you need to get out of the way. Those are all synced to the music. What's different here as well is that, as well as that, you are tapping out notes that appear in the top half of the screen. So at different parts of the song, like you'll be doing a tapping section, and now it's, you've got to steer, now you've got to tap, now you've got to steer. In some of the harder songs and on the hard difficulty level, you kind of have to do both at once a little bit, which is interesting and quite tricky. I didn't necessarily like all of, you know, I'd much rather, I was cool with being chased. I hated when there were obstacles in front of me, so to speak. Because the way the game points that out is by putting an arrow like on your lane, saying there's something coming here. And just in my mental brain, just in my subconscious, I'm like, oh, there's a thing coming. I've got to collect that.
Oh, I see.
And so I was constantly smashing into stuff that way. And that's
The
always
arrow
a,
means go here. Yeah.
yeah, that's always a problem with that kind of viewpoint, I guess. So yeah, but, it's all synced up to the music. The music for the most part, apart from a couple of like songs, Wyclef Jean did one, and that like there's a couple of like, in-house composed stuff. It's classical music, which, mainly because it's royalty
free.
free, but it's also like, it's nicely done and remixed quite well. So there's a bit where they're having, fucking, this is given away after the first stage. Like the girl, the reason this isn't going to end well is like the girl has a terminal illness, and like, so, she's at one point, she's talking about she's having trouble breathing, and like the guy's like trying to comfort her and saying, oh, you know, it's nothing, it's just the pollution, it's the smog around here, whatever. And then he goes to sleep, and then like there's this dream where you're like going through a crazy fucking techno factory, and it's like the music's in the Hall of the Mountain King, but it's an industrial version of that, so they remix it. In quite, like, the remixes are quite good. So it's kind of, it's nice to have, like, the industrial, like, a sort of, like, that tune, like, to filtered through fucking Trent Reznor or whatever.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
is, it's good. And the visuals kind of distort, you know, it's not like you're just going down one track. Like, there's always like about two or three shifts where things radically change. And you know, that makes sense because you're having like this fucked up dream or whatever. But one thing I didn't know about the game beforehand, and I was surprised at how versatile it is, like you can create levels in it and share, based on just what you have, like the music you have in your phone or whatever.
Oh, you can use your own music.
You can use your own music. You're even able to play other people's levels if you don't have that music. They might take that out by the time the game's released. I don't know. But like, yeah, I mean, like right now there's a few thousand, you know, a few hundred tracks on there, and like you can just play it straight up. You know, you don't have to have that music. And it's nicely done. It's quite intuitive. So like you import a song, and it's like you'll see the WAV file. And then all you have to do is you kind of want to paint an ideal line, for the player to follow, which you could do by sliding, and then you just drag and drop obstacles in there, and you can listen to the music as you're doing that. So like, okay. So, you know, I mean, you can listen to a bit, get a feel for how that goes, and then go, okay, rewind it, and then put in your obstacles so that they're synced to the music quite well.
Okay, you say like you can see the WAV file, so there's like a visualizer as well?
Yeah, I mean, like it's like you're putting it in Audacity, like you see the actual file that's playing, and then like you can listen to it as well, and then it's like, oh, I want obstacles here, or I want this to be a tapping section, and then at that point you're just like playing along to the music. Yeah, that stuff's really neat, and I was really surprised with just how like versatile it is. And you can follow creators and be followed. I just like literally turned it on to check a couple of things, and it was like, oh, you've got your first fan on Mustin Army or whatever. So yeah, one thing that's a bit weird is that they're promising extra content. There's like a big fucking button of like your campaign, create, and then like the second adventure, and it's like, if we can get, there's a counter like actually on there, which is at 300 and some right now because the game's not out, but like it's saying, you know, if this gets up to 100,000, then we'll release another thing. That's kind of weird, I guess, like this little sort of crowd fund, not really crowdfunding thing.
But at the same time, I mean, I can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would kind of suck to create, you know, extra content. I mean, for the consumer, obviously it would be great to if they created extra content for just like the 20,000 players who play it. But, you know, from the developer point of view,
Yeah. It's just, I guess it's weird that it's so upfront about it, but, yeah, I mean, like, they could equally be doing a Kickstarter that probably wouldn't be successful, but, right. like, this is more attainable, and it might get more people to spread the word about the game, I guess.
Would it be free if it comes out?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
All it says right now is help us to reach 100,000 players to discover a new character and his story.
Okay.
Oh, who knows, and then there's a big button, which is invite friends on Facebook or whatever. I kind of like it. I kind of probably should play through it again without my mental blocks of how to deal with obstacles and shit. Cause some of the later tracks as well just got a bit frustrating to me.
To remove mental blocks, you must go to a psychiatrist.
It is very much of that sort of Valiant Hearts school of storytelling as well. And like
How long does it last?
Emotional strings are pulled. Again, it's like a couple of hours. It's not very long. There's like 13 levels, and then like you can play that on normal and hard. And like each level's about, I know, about 4 minutes or so. So not long. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So.
One more.
Yeah. I had to deal with visualizers myself. With my last game. The blue game is, Odinsphere Leifthrasir, Leifthrasir, I don't know.
Are there umlauts?
I'm sorry?
Are there umlauts in it?
No, there are not. But I know L-E-I-F is pronounced Leif, so Leifthrasir. T-H-R-A-S-I-R. Anyway, the remake of Odinsphere. Out in Japan last week, picked that up, and played through it this weekend. I'm currently still only on Gwendolyn's story, the first story. I actually didn't know there were, like, multiple stories in it, before picking it up. I never played Odinsphere, and the only VanillaWare game I played other than that is, Dragon's Crown.
I played, what's the one that it came out on Wii and then it came out on Vita?
You're gonna make me look something up, aren't you?
It's gonna do me in. Talk about Odinsphere.
Oh, there you go. Muramasa Rebirth.
Muramasa, there you go.
Muramasa. I actually have that on my Vita and I've just never touched it.
Odinsphere and Muramasa are quite similar, I think.
And yeah, it looks beautiful. That's what struck me right away is, the animation is extremely smooth. And the artistic style is great. It's a distorted kind of beauty at the same time. I mean, like the men have like these dainty little ankles, but then like their shoulders are bigger than the screen itself. Kind of thing. And they walk around and on those dainty ankles and still they go like thump, thump, thump and cause your controller to shake. And I swear that's just the sound of their ankles breaking. But, yeah, right.
Jackson's gun kind of has that.
Exactly, yeah. All the men are basically the fighter from Dragon's Crown. So he was exactly like that. The story, though, is basically the exact same. Like, nothing has changed. Or at least in the first 30 minutes, because I verified this when I put my video up on YouTube of the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I could have translated everything myself, but at the same time, I felt like I should just do the official translations. And so I watched a Let's Play of the original Odinsphere, and word for word, it's the exact same. Yep. Some people are in the different areas, but that's about it. Okay. Yeah. So,
Was this again, like, I mean, when you went back and watched the original stuff, like, how much of it has improved visually? So, I mean, like, it's very stylized 2D, so it's not
right.
necessarily that it, you know, you wouldn't think ordinarily that it's going to take massive advantage.
True, but at the same time, I mean, like, I did look at the original, it's the PS2 version, and now, like, PS4. Like, a lot of the upgrades come in, not just, the actual character models, but, like, the backgrounds, what's going on in the backgrounds, and, like, fighting, like, the glowing energy people put out, and, you know, they can put in more voxels, and voxels are everybody's voxels. Favorite things.
Yep.
And again, like, it just runs super smooth. Everything's beautiful. Load times are super short. I noticed there was something about that on the PlayStation 2 version on all the videos I watched. And on the game itself, like, it's a really good game. So for people who haven't played Odin Sphere, basically you start, like I said, there are multiple characters, but I've only played the first character, Gwendolyn. She's a Valkyrie, and she fights for her father, who's the king. The king is Odin. And they're fighting against the elves, and you've got to stab your way through the entire army. And it's very much like a combo-based fighter. So you have various moves, like you can juggle people, you can go up, you can go down, you have, like, hold square to do, like, a dash forward attack. And, the more you juggle people, the bigger your combo will get, and, taking less damage and things like that. At the end of every battle stage, you get a score. It can go anywhere from, I think, D, maybe C, to S. And based on your score, you get various items, like healing items, trinkets, equipment, things like that.
Muramasa yeah. was like that. But I didn't dig Muramasa. I think probably because, I'm probably misspeaking, so I can't exactly remember, but I think you start up Muramasa Rebirth and it's like, right, do you want to play on easy or hard? And I'm like, what? You know what I mean? They call it different things, but like, there's no normal. It's just like, do you want to play on? This is for novices. This is for really experienced players. I'm like, easy, I guess? And then, like, it was just ridiculously easy, you know? And I'm like, oh. So, yes. I don't know. How is it challenge-wise?
It's got a really weird, like, mid-game curve. So, the rank and file are easy as pie. Like, no problem. I just cleave through them. I get, like, S's on every battle stage. Without even really trying. But at the same time, you know, I try to make it look good. Like, I do juggling and everything like that. You know, just impressing myself, but whatever.
Right, right.
I get to the bosses and, like, throughout the entire, like, round, I'm basically saying, why am I even collecting healing items? I never need these things. And then I get to the boss, and it's like, oh my god, I need my healing potions now. Where are they?
Okay.
It is a big difference fighting, the regular guys and the bosses. I guess it's kind of supposed to be, but at the same time, like, it's very easy to get back into it. If you die, you just say, like, retry the battle, and it just restarts you right there. It's no problem. It's got an interesting kind of leveling up system as well. So you can level up by killing enemies, of course, but enemies will sometimes drop seeds, and they also, when they die, they release what's called Fozons. You can collect the Fozons. It's basically like souls in any soul-collecting game, like God of War. So when you plant the seeds that you collect, you can release some of the Fozons you've collected, and they'll go into the plant and create a fruit. If you eat the fruit, not only do you get some health back, but you get experience points, and you get a lot of experience points. So most of your leveling up actually comes from eating food. And it's not just fruits. Like, it starts as fruits, but eventually, like, you find an egg, and if you put the egg down, it'll hatch into a chick, which will eat seeds on the ground and become a chicken. You kill the chicken, and you get, you know, a chicken leg, which gives you a ton more experience than any fruit you're going to have.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. And then...
Yeah, too involved for me. Muramasa had, like, a fucking cooking system in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Vanillaware is, like, if this is their thing, like, yeah, cooking was also prominent in Dragon's Crown as well, with the camps and everything. Yeah, so there is also, like, if you don't want to put in the effort to actually, like, grow the seeds or, you know, make the chicken grow, there is also, like, this magic chef who appears in rest areas. And you can just give him things and he'll make food for you. Mm-hmm. Like if you give him an egg, he'll make an omelet. So there you go.
Okay.
And it's completely free. Like you just give him the items and he'll make it.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
There's that. And yeah, if you don't want to deal with that at all, then, you know, go out and just kill people. You can get experience that way. So, overall, like, the challenge is really good, when you get to the bosses, like I said. So basically, it's just like finding the bosses is the fun part. Like,
sure.
You don't know where the mid-level bosses are. The actual, like, final stage boss is always clear. But yeah, the mid-level bosses are fun as well. So,
is it all fantasy land stuff?
Right. So
Muramasa is like in, like, A, it's in Japan and it's in like fucking, it's in Shonan, which is where I spent like fucking 5 years and I still work down there. So it's like, oh, I'm in Kamakura. You know, like, oh, I've been here.
No, this is all Fantasyland. So, I can't even remember the name of the country. It's like Ragnarville or something.
Ragnarok.
No, it's not Ragnarok, but it does start with Ragna. Like I said, you're a Valkyrie, you go out and you go to some kind of, like, weird mountain to fight the elves, and there are trolls and dwarves and, all kinds of magical creatures that you gotta deal with, so. Yep.
It's... Alright, then.
There you go.
Seems like a decent one.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like it. I mean, as easy as the rank and file are, they are a good way to practice your combos, which are very important when you come across the actual bosses.
I think there's a case to be made for that. And also, like, I think probably Ryuga Gotoku is like that. They're very different kinds of games, but like Odin Sphere being a 2D game, like, we always talk about, oh, 2D games age better, and they do age better visually, but also because, like, there was kind of an established language of communication and of those mechanics, whereas 3D games, like, early 3D games are rough to play as well as to look at. But it seems like, you know, kind of Yakuza has those, like, okay, now you're doing the fighting bit, and because that sort of segmented structure... Mm-hmm. Actually benefits playing them today. They don't quite age quite as badly. Mm-hmm. Whereas if, as soon as, like, you have to shoot a gun, then, like, it feels shit. So that's an old game.
Right.
That's new again. Two old games that are new again. But if we wanted to pick up new games that are new still this week, what could we get?
Oh, well, you know, we've got a couple of offerings. So, like I talked about at the beginning of the podcast, we have The Witness is coming out.
Yeah, okay.
So, if you've got $40 to spare, there's that. And, yeah, I did check, it is PC and PS4. Also, Final Fantasy Explorers, please don't buy that.
It's not very good.
Yep, you will be bored. I guarantee it. Unless you are the most hardcore Final Fantasy fan.
Marcella quite liked it.
Yeah. But I'm sure he didn't play more than 30 minutes. It's good for like 2 hours. And then, Also, this war of mine, the little ones, actually looking
Oh.
forward to that. Also, the Vita exclusive for whatever reason, Sid Meier's Civilization Revolution 2 Plus.
Sweet. I think we talked about this before, and I think I surmised that it is probably an iOS port to Vita.
Possibly,
And that is why it is Vita, right?
right.
Because of touchscreen stuff.
Let's see what else we have. Lego Marvel's Avengers. You've got,
Good.
Gemini Heroes Reborn, which is a tie-in to the TV series, which was just canceled.
Sweet. Oh, Heroes Reborn. What's the
Gemini
Gemini?
Heroes Reborn. I don't know what the Gemini is. There's that. I think that's it. Then in Japan, you also have Dragon Quest Builders is coming out.
Demos up, apparently. You probably give a look at
Yeah, Japan actually is really good with demos. Like a week or even like a month before, they will always put the demo out. But as far as I know, that is like the only release. I mean, it's a big release, but still, for Japan, not for me. But
Oh, there you go. If you're rich, you're rich, get The Witness, and if not, get this war, the war of this war of
this
mine.
war of mine, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to get good and depressed, apparently.
Yeah, the little ones.
The little, yeah, right. So it's actually not. It's a
Yeah, so
different
if you want to
game,
be
isn't it?
more depressed,
Right,
rather
children
than
die.
playing like actual adults in a wartime.
Oh. Cheery stuff, that. So that ought to warm your cockles as we go through the coldest week of the year, apparently. We'll give you a chat. See you next week. In the meantime, go to kaijupop.com for everything that's on the website. A lot of stuff went up this week. So I put a couple of things up. You put a bunch of stuff up, videos and whatnot. And you can follow us on Twitter. I am at ReasonJP.
I am at Coach Bonsai.
And that is all there is.